They're clapping for me as I come to the pulpit. Oh, yeah. I'll just leave it there. Amen. If you have a Bible today, turn to two portions of Scripture. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, Joshua chapter 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and Joshua chapter 1. I want to speak today on courage, and a lot of times we really don't understand how that applies to the Christian life. And I want to see that today. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. And so the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we have to understand that. But it takes courage. Some people, it takes courage just to get out of bed in the morning. And they're facing something very, very difficult. And these things always weigh heavily on our hearts. But God has the answer for everything. Maybe he doesn't take the burden away or the trial away, but he certainly gives courage to endure, and he gives help in time of need. If you're familiar with AA, I am because of growing up in a drunkard's home, but I used to go to meetings with my mother and others, and they had what they called the Serenity Prayer. And in that Serenity Prayer, really good, it talked about, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change and the courage to change the things I can. Sometimes we have a difficult time facing things, facing our giant, facing our problems. But God gives courage so there's not fear, because God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and, importantly, a sound mind. You make good decisions when there's no fear, when the terror is not there, when you're steeled, when you're, you know, encouraged, when you're strengthened, you're able to think right. Amen? And the fear doesn't chase you away. So we'll see some things about that. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, David is the king. Saul has died. If you're familiar with the story, Saul was trying to kill David. And David is here, and he has some mighty men. And the Bible describes them in more than one place in the Bible. But in verse 1, mighty men, helpers of the war. Verse 8, and of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David into the hold of the wilderness, men of might, men of war, fit for the battle. And then it describes that. We come down to verse 18. It says, then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse, peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them and made them captains of the band. It says, then the Spirit came upon this man. And you find that all through the Scriptures, especially if the Bible starts out like that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Then it says, in the next verse, and God said, let there be light. Before the Word of God had power, so to speak, the Spirit of God moved. And you'll find that all the time. It's the Spirit. So we pray in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit, amen, love in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that enables us. And the Spirit, what's the verse, Acts chapter 1? That's what I'm thinking of, right, Richard? Yeah, okay, he usually gives me the half the sermon. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and then you'll be witnesses. So it's a spiritual work. And the verses we quoted when we began, it's a spiritual warfare. So you need a spiritual courage. There are many brave men in the world and brave souls in the world, and they're brave for certain things. But when we get into this spiritual battle, it's not flesh and blood, and it's not the human reasoning. It's what God can do for us. And so you find that here, and I think that's such a blessing. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I will get there in a minute. And God is telling Joshua to be strong and of good courage. And for God to say that, there's some fear in Joshua's heart. And let me just say, if you think you're never proud, you've missed the boat, or if you are without sin, if you've never experienced fear, sometimes we live with fear. And all of these things, you know, Elijah was a man of like passions. Elijah, you know, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God has made a way to escape that. You come to the book of Joshua, and let's read this statement a number of times. In verse 5, the end of the verse, God says, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's a blessing. That's a promise from God. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee is the New Testament. But here in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. This is the purpose. I want you to be strong and of good courage for this particular purpose and time. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. And then it goes on. And I think the other verse is verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He repeats that. Why does he keep repeating that? Because we need to know that God's on our side, that God is with us. I remember, this probably is not a good illustration for this, but it came to mind. When we were kids, we would have snowball fights and everything. And I had an older brother, 2 years older. And Norman Hinchcliffe had a paper route. He was one of the big kids. I called him one of the big kids. And he was riding his bike on a road pretty far from me, and I made a snowball. My brother's here, and my brother's friend is here. Amen? And I threw that snowball at Norman, and he was, not exaggerating, at least 3/4 of a mile away. I mean, at least. And I threw that snowball, and we timed it. It took 5 minutes to arc and to land. And it hit him and knocked him off his bike. Man, what a lucky shot. Until he put his bike down and started running towards me. Amen. But again, I had my big brother. There's things you do spiritually when you know God is with you. You're not stepping out on your own. You know there's a strength, there's a purpose, there's wisdom, there's help. Anything you need, you're going with God, or God's going with you. Amen. And so it says that again. The end of the chapter, just the last phrase, only be strong and of a good courage. God says that over and over and over. Remember last week, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and then it quotes the same verse again, because there are principles that we go through over and over and over, and this is one of them. God wants us to know that he's with us, and he's going to help us. There's a definition of courage in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and it's this: mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. That's a good definition. We come to Noah Webster's dictionary. He wrote it back in 1828, and it has more of a spiritual flavor. And he says, bravery, that quality of mind which enables men to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness, valor, boldness, resolution. But then he goes on and he gives an illustration of this, how to apply it. Courage that grows from constitution, from temperament, from personality, from what we're thinking, from what's on our mind at the time, often forsakes a man when he has occasion for it. Here's a time to show courage, but he cannot get that because of who he is in his spirit. You find that several times in the Bible, that there were weak people in the Bible that God made strong. But the weakness was better than the strength because they depended more on God. And so he says that, but then he goes on and he says this. But courage which arises from a sense of duty acts in a uniform manner. It's consistent because duty is always the same. Feelings change. And so when we see the duty that God has required, or the blessing that God is going to perform with us and through us, then that takes away whether we're excited about it or not, whether we're fearful or not, because it's the duty. And we can go in the strength of the Lord. I think that's such a blessing. Tozer wrote, "The true follower of Christ will not ask, if I embrace this truth, what will it cost me? Rather, he will say, this is truth. God help me to walk in it, let come what may." Even a coward can praise Christ, but it takes a man of courage to follow him. This is braveness in the world. That's sometimes a dime a dozen, but braveness for the Christian, because the battle is so much harder. Amen. Matthew 16:24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Joshua had a great work to do. It would bless many people. It would glorify God, but he had to have courage to do it. That had to be a prerequisite for what he was about to do. And by having that courage, he depended wholly on God, because God said that he would be with him. Courage is contagious. Billy Graham said this. I didn't have time to study, so I just wrote a lot of illustrations here. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened when somebody is leading like that. But not always. Remember Joshua and Caleb in Numbers 13? "We're well able to possess the land." But the other 10 spies said, "No, there's giants in the land and walled cities, and there's chariots of iron, and we are like grasshoppers in their sight." And you know what happened to the whole nation because of that. They wandered 40 years. Gideon's 300. It was Gideon's 32,000 when they started, and they ended up with 300. So not everybody sees bravery or courage and follows it. John Mark, he went with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, but when he got to the field, it was too tough, and he went back home. And there's a whole story behind that. When God speaks, oftentimes his voice will call for an act of courage on our part. Charles Stanley said that. When God speaks, he's wanting us to have courage, because he has a plan for us. And whether we're in a church service, whether we're reading our devotions, whether we're listening to a radio, or just musing, just thinking about God, when God speaks, it's because he wants to give us courage to do something. Amen? And I think that's a blessing. Resolve, duty, bravery. The history of be of good courage, prior to what we read here about Joshua, goes all the way back to Numbers 13, and we read or quoted some of those verses. In Numbers 13 and verse 20, the 12 spies go out, and they are commanded to spy out the land. But remember, God already said, "I give you this land. It's your land. Wherever you walk, it's your land. So I'll give you the strength to destroy the enemy." It says, "Find out what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage and bring the fruit of the land." God's promise, just go, have courage, bring the fruit. Amen? They came back with grapes the size of cantaloupes, strawberries the size of apples, watermelons the size of watermelons. I'm making all this up as I'm going, but there was a lot of fruit. Amen? It's three people paying attention today. Amen? But anyway, they brought the fruit of the land, and it was a land flowing with milk and honey. And they're well able to do it. Amen? So all they needed was the courage. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, this is Moses to Joshua. This is after the wilderness wanderings. Same message. 31:6, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." The message didn't change. The response changed. And how often have we heard something from God and knew that it was personal and knew that it was God speaking to us? And then we wandered for a while. And then God came back with the exact same message. And we finally said, "Yes, I'll have courage to do that. Yes, I'll step out in faith." And then by doing that, you possess the land. Amen? And it's a type of victory. It's a picture of that. And we hear things over and over. We grow as Christians, amen? And it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian where you've attained or where you're at, we're always growing. We're always maturing. We're always learning. Thank God for that. Thank God for his grace and long-suffering and patience as we do that. But he said he gives the same message over and over and over. And all it is, he's waiting for our response. He's waiting for us to have courage that we can step out and do his will. Deuteronomy 31:7 goes on. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Verse 23, same chapter. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. And then we read Joshua, and God's telling him, only be strong and of a good courage. Here's the message over and over and over. God ever repeat anything to you? You're reading the Bible and he just, here it is again, and here it is again, and here it is again. That's so precious that he has such patience, and over he wants us to know that he's with us and helping us and blessing us. And it doesn't get any better than that, amen? When you know that's God and you can follow that. Now, Moses is telling this to Joshua because Moses had been through some things on his own where he saw the hand of God. May all who come behind us find us faithful. There was weight in what he was saying, amen? Moses wasn't a perfect man. He did some things wrong, but God blessed Moses. He was the deliverer. He went down to Egypt to deliver the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. God said, I want you to go before Pharaoh, and this is what I want you to say. So he goes before Pharaoh, Exodus chapter 5, and he says, God said, let my people go. I think it's verse 5 of the same chapter, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Okay, here's the delivery comes. This is what God said. No, we're not doing that. As a matter of fact, what happened was Pharaoh made the burden on the Israelites twice as much. And now they come to Moses, the deliverer, and say, what are you doing? What did you say to him? You know, you just made matters worse for us. And at the end of chapter 5, it really affected Moses. And he went before God and he said, God, why did you send me? Since I came, it's been worse. I'm paraphrasing that. But he did say, why hast thou sent me? And he was even questioning what God said to him. Well, it was clear what God said to him. Well, then how come this isn't working like I think it ought to work? Amen? We've all been there. We could be there this morning. God said this. How come it isn't working? You go to chapter 6, and forget the verses, but you'll see it in the middle of the chapter. God says, I am the Lord God, and then there's seven I wills. I will deliver you. I'll give you the land. I'll do all of this. And then he ends it with, I am the Lord your God. Again, I'm the Lord. Is anything too hard for me? No, nothing is too hard for him. And so he gives that instruction. So we read Joshua chapter 1, and we find that. And I'm going to read Joshua chapter 10, but I'm going to blow my nose first. Amen. Thank you, Paul. Boy, he was ready for that, man. He is a good sound guy. Amen. Joshua chapter 10. Okay, here's the future. The past of be of good cheer. The present for Joshua, be of good cheer. And now the future of be of good cheer. Joshua and Israel, they've defeated the five kings. And in chapter 10 and verse 25, Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. Boy, it's been a long time, Joshua. I mean, you wanted to do this a long time ago, but you didn't have the people to do it with, but it's all for a purpose. And now Joshua is strong and of a good courage, and now he's telling others Be strong and of a good courage. I'm sorry, I got a frog in my throat. Second Samuel chapter 10 and verse 12. And you and I have turned to all these. Joab and Abishai are fighting an enemy. And Joab says to Abishai, his brother, if the enemy is too strong for me, come and help me. If the enemy is too strong for you, I will come and help you. Why were they fighting that battle? It tells us in verse 12 of chapter 10, be of good courage. Let us play the men for our people, for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good. Why did God give them the courage? We want to have courage to do this. It's for our city. It's for our people. It's for our little ones, for our children, for all those that come behind us. We're winning a battle for them. It's not just about how this affects me. It's about how this affects so many others. It's about the testimony of our God. And when the enemy can cause us to fall, and I'm talking about the spiritual enemies, that's a victory for him and a defeat for the Lord. And there are lessons to be learned from all of that, but we want to have courage to do what God wants us to do because he promises to bless. 1 Chronicles 28:20, David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage. Build the temple. I'm a bloody man. I can't do it, but I prepared for it. God has a plan for everybody. And it says, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Have we just read that in all these other verses? Until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And that phrase or that challenge has been passed down through history. And there will be a third temple. There will be one. We probably won't see it, but just depends on your view of prophecy. Amen? But it's going to be built. Now we come down. Well, what is all this? Well, all these things are written for our learning and our admonition, right? So these stories are practical for us to apply. Psalm 27:14. I love the Psalms. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Take this story, take this teaching, take this example. Take this situation, take all of that and apply it personally, and you will hear the same message from God. Same message. It worked for him. Oh, it didn't work for them because they didn't apply it. Oh, I see the error of their way. I see how they wandered because of that. And God is saying to me, be of good courage. I will strengthen thine heart. That's all we have to do is do what God says. You have Psalm 31:24, and there's more than this. Be of good courage, he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And it goes on and on. Proverbs 30 and verse 30, a lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. Our God, Jesus, is the lion of the tribe of Judah. 2 Samuel 17:10, and he also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion. Back in history, there was a king of England. His name was Richard the Lionheart. Not the Lionhearted, but the Lionheart. And he got that nickname because he was so ferocious in battle. So brave. He had so much courage, but that's what they called him. We read in 1 Chronicles 12 about those mighty men of David whose faces were as the faces of a lion. That showed courage. And maybe that's what it's talking about when Jesus, going to the cross, set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. There was a determination, there was a courage to give himself for us, amen? And we have that courage to give ourselves for him. So many stories in the Bible, if Nehemiah had not been a brave spirit and had courage, the walls of Jerusalem would not have been built, were rebuilt. But he was very strong and courageous. Nehemiah 6:11, they were trying to get him into the temple and make a league with him. And there's a lot of treachery going on when he got there. And he said unto them, and I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. I've got a work to do. Amen? And so he just continued with that. If Gideon had not been a brave man and a man of courage, he would not have delivered Israel in the book of Judges. You have Judges 7:17. He said unto them, look on me and do likewise. Do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. What a foolish thing we're going to do. We're going to use trumpets and pitchers. And there's only, 300 of us, you know? And we're going to encircle the enemy who's like the sand of the seashore. And we're going to blow the trumpet, let them know where we're at, and break the pitcher. Isn't that a good battle plan, you know? And but yet they did, and you know the story. You say, well, will God do that for me? If I go in and ask for a raise? You know, I don't know what your real burden is today, but God says, I will be with you. Just have courage. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Be not afraid, fear not. Over and over and over. Let me just say that the work of God is to encourage. That means to put courage in. So we encourage one another. Amen? And you encourage yourself. The work of the devil is to discourage. That's to take courage out. Because without that courage, there's no faith. There's no trust. It won't work. Amen? You have to trust the Lord. Seneca wrote, 'Tis nothing for a man to hold up his head in a calm, but to maintain his post when all others have quitted their ground, and there to stand upright when other men are beaten down is divine. John Chapman wrote, have plenty of courage. God is stronger than the devil, and we are on the winning side. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Martin Luther, here I stand, I can do no other. God help me. Amen. He saw that salvation was by grace, not by works. And if you read the history of that, it's absolutely amazing. Here I stand. God help me. James Garfield wrote, if there is one thing upon the earth that man loves and admires better than another, it is a brave man, a man who dares look the devil in the face and tell him that he is the devil. Stands for Christ. So, courage to do what's right. Just remember, every baseball team could use a man who plays every position perfectly. Never strikes out, never makes an error. The trouble is, there's no way to make him lay down his hot dog and come down out of the stands. You just can't get him in the game, you know. And we have to do this, amen? We have to be individually strong for the Lord and trust in his courage. It's a real spiritual battle. God said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:19, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. There it is again, I am with thee. Acts 18:1, Jesus said to Paul, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in the city. And he was there for a year and a half. In Corinth. Corinth was such a wicked city. They used to use the term Corinthianize to describe how you could really cause somebody to go down, to be sinful. Corinthianize. Paul was there and God says, don't worry about a thing. I'm with you. There's much people in this city, and that was true. Came to pass. And God blessed his ministry there. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That is tough. That is hard to do, to encourage yourself in the Lord, when not only is the enemy against you, but even your own soldiers. That is a difficult, difficult place to be. And here's what helped David. He sought the Lord. He went to God. You'll find that in that chapter. And I think it's verse 8. It says, God said to him, thou shalt without fail recover all. And then you have the story. And then I think it's verse 18. and David recovered all. He would have never recovered all had he not encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes it's just you. It's just you and God, but you and God make the majority. Amen? And if God be for us, who can be against us? And God bless there. Judges chapter 20, verse 22. The men of Israel encouraged themselves and set the battle again in array. I just want to bring something out here. God has a plan. God has a will. He wants to give us courage. But again, like with Moses going before Pharaoh, it doesn't always turn out the way it ought to turn out. Sometimes we lose the battle to win the war. Sometimes we lose many battles to win the war. But the important thing is winning the war. There was terrible sin in Judges chapter 20, and I won't go into that. But Israel is going to attack a place where that happened and bring judgment. And God told them to do that. And in Judges chapter 20, their hearts were knit together as one man. That's like the book of Acts. They had one heart, one mind, one soul, and great grace was upon them because they were like-minded. But anyway, it says that they attacked the enemy. In verse 18, and the children of Israel rose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. And that's exactly what they did. 22,000 men were killed that day. They were defeated. It says, and the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and set the battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. And the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until even and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I go up again to the battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? And the Lord said, go up against him. Second battle, they lose again. 18,000 men are killed. That's 40,000 men. But they believe God wants them to do it, so they pray again. And the Bible says, verse 26, and all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came into the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until even and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord. Verse 28, shall I yet again go out to the battle? Same verse. And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thine hand. You say, well, God wants me to do this. And we all have a preconceived idea of what God's going to do when we do what he tells us to do. And if there's a defeat, how easy it is just to throw in the towel and say, well, it isn't working the way I thought it would. Why have you sent me? God, why? And he says, I am with you. And I want to instruct you, and I want to give you courage, and I want to use you, and there will be a expected end to all of this. You know, you can't go wrong following the Lord. You say, well, what if it all falls apart? What? Doesn't matter. As long as you're following the Lord, amen? The blessing. I like that story. It's still difficult. George Adams said, encouragement is the oxygen to the soul. And many people fall because they just don't have encouragement. And all they need is encouragement. That's a blessing. Elizabeth Harrison said, the men who are lifting the world upward and onward are those who encourage rather than criticize. All right, that's the introduction today. We'll get into the message now. You think I'm kidding, but okay, we'll go right along. Deuteronomy 1:21. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. This is originally, go up and possess it. As the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. Okay? Don't be discouraged. That's another way of saying be of good courage. Right? Same thing. Verse 28, same chapter. Whither shall we go up? Here's the command given, and here's the response. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, boy, the tongue is set on fire of hell, isn't it? Their life and death, in Proverbs, is in the power of the tongue. To encourage rather than discourage. What a blessing that is. saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Your words have so much weight. And if God encourages us, we ought to encourage others. Amen? And keep in the battle. Numbers 32:7. And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord God hath given them. God has called every believer to a great work. There's some things only you can do for God. Some people only you can reach. Amen? And God wants us to take courage for that. It's not like you have the responsibility of the whole world. God, the lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. Thou maintainest thou my lot. Joshua, I'm going to give you courage. You need to be courageous because you need to lead the nation of Israel into this land so they can possess their land. Moses, I want you to have courage because you're going to go before Pharaoh, and on and on and on, all of these stories. And God wants us to have courage. And our motive, what is our motive? We love the Lord. That's what we talked about last week. How to love God. Important. A wealthy businessman hosted a spectacular party in which he had filled his swimming pool with sharks, barracuda, and other assorted dangerous fish. He announced to his guests that he would like to challenge any of them to try swimming across the pool. And he would offer a first prize of either a new home in the mountains, a trip around the world for two, or a piece of his business. No sooner had he made the announcement than there was a splash and a man swam rapidly across the infested waters and bounded up on the other side. The millionaire said to the dripping man, "That was a stunning performance. What prize do you want?" He answered tersely, "Right now, I really don't care about the prize. I just want to get the name of the turkey who pushed me in." Oh, we all have motives, don't we? You know? Yeah. And one Paul Sweeney said this, "One motivation is worth 10 threats, 2 pressures, and 6 reminders." One motivation. Love God is better than threats and reminders and pushing somebody to swim across. Amen? You can't push a heart for God. You can't push love. All you can do is share the word, speak the truth in love, have grace, long-suffering, patience. God knows we all need that. Amen? And let God do what he wants to do. A dear lady in this church told me before the service, I call her mom, but anyway, she told me about one of her boys, and 14 years old, taller than her, and he had done something wrong, and she was correcting it, and he smiled at her as he looked down and said, "Mom, I'm too old to spank." And she, with tears in her eyes, said, "Well, then don't do what's wrong." That's a greater motive. Amen? "I love you, Mom." Okay. That's taken care of. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." How do you motivate somebody to apply that? How do you motivate yourself to apply these things? Because that's what it's all about. Amen? Before we can comfort others, we have to be comforted so we can comfort them with the comfort wherewith we were comforted. Unto the merciful, he will be merciful. You have to have love in your heart before you share that. I mean, it's all something that we need. Amen? Grace, long-suffering, patience. 2 Chronicles 35 and verse 2. "And he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord." Isaiah 41:7. "So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil," etc., etc. This one encouraged this one, and they encouraged each other. We're in the last days of the last days. And I don't know how many times I have heard this, maybe not in these exact words, but about something that was a lost cause. That's a lost cause. he's a lost cause, she's a lost cause, the church is a lost cause, whatever, our country, the world, you know, and we put all of these things into it. I want to really focus on this and I'll be done, but I think this is a great, great truth. T.S. Eliot wrote, "We fight for lost causes because we know that our defeat and dismay may be the preface for our successor's victory." This is not about us. This is about the Lord and his work. Amen? And we may do his will and not be successful in how we think everything ought to turn out. But we're establishing a foundation, or maybe tilling the ground, digging up the ground, making it where it can receive seed. Some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. Amen? And we might plant or we might water and not see the finished product, not see it at all. You know, man, that was a lost cause. No, Mary took the alabaster box of ointment and she broke it and poured it out on the Lord. And the disciples and Judas, they said, "Why this waste of the ointment? We could have sold this for this much and given it to the poor. Why this waste?" You will never waste anything. Time, substance, reputation, nothing. You will never waste a thing doing it for the Lord. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Be of good courage. Be of good courage, because he said, "I am with thee. I will help thee." May who all come behind us find us faithful. Ah, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith? May we be found faithful. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us again and again and again. I know for me, how many times was I witness to? Oh, so patient with me, God. Thank you. We've heard so many messages. We've preached them. We've listened to them. God, I pray that you would help us to be courageous. And I know that's only because the Spirit helps us. Be with us, God. Meet the need of every person here. And may you be glorified because of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, please.